On the home of the Blackhawks, the Northwestern Wildcats, and White Sox baseball, Dave Attic, WGN Sports.
Strange, weird things going on. Bless you.
Who sneezed like that?
I don't know.
That wasn't even human. That was like from another
Friday.
That was otherworldly.
Jasmine, I know
Who
we're just
that?
Getting started. Can you call into the newsroom and have Ryan Burrow come in here? Because he was in the newsroom.
Here's your suspects. It could have been Ryan Burrow. It could have been Eric Rung. It could have been Steve Bertrand. It could have been Violetta Padromedic.
Yeah, but it was a man.
It wasn't even a man.
Kim Gordon's in there, too, and it, you know.
It was definitely not Kim. Or Violetta. It was like a...
It
like,
was a double sneeze.
Wow, it was like the...
Was it Dave Ennett? I thought it was Eric, and they can't hear us.
I thought
us
it was Eric, too, but
we've
he said
switched
no.
streams, so when I spoke, they didn't hear us.
Right, right.
Which makes me...
wonder if we're even
if
on
we
the air.
If we speak on the stream.
I don't think anyone hears us. No, it's just, they just did this to make us feel important.
What if we speak on a stream in a forest?
And nobody, oh, that's a good question.
I don't know.
But somebody has the most potent, frightening sneeze of all time. I want to know who it is just so I know that if they have a cold, I have to stay within, like, I have to stay in a boundary. I have to stay far away from them.
All right, we have to get to the bottom of this because that was
who
a sneeze.
Who do you think that was?
Microphone.
I thought that was Eric Rung, but he says no.
Yeah, I thought it was Eric originally. The only thing I can think of is
it
Dave
was not
Ennett.
A woman. Yeah, oh boy.
But Dave would
Dave's
know
more
to turn his mic off.
He's a professional.
Yes.
He's in the WGN Walk of Fame.
But they work him too hard.
Yeah, I guess.
Jasmine went to go find Ryan Burrow because he was in the newsroom as this happened, and I wanted to find out. Plus, he has a new thing to tell us about.
Ryan Burrow does?
Yeah, it was not a scheduled booking, but he was very excited about something, and I shared in his excitement when he told me.
Well, I don't know what it is, but if
you'll
it's,
have to wait.
That's exciting, whatever it is. I like him.
Did you hear some news today that there is a celebrity who is 57 years old who just got his first tattoo?
Yeah.
You did see this.
I'm trying to remember who it is. Is it Michael J. Fox?
Yes, it is. He got a sea turtle, his first ever tattoo. It's a black and white tortoise.
And he got it on his forehead.
No, he did not.
Oh. Why did he get it? Why did he wait so long? Why did he finally give in? What's the backstory on this sea turtle of Michael J. Fox's?
Well, it's interesting because I printed up a story, and when I printed it, a giant...
yeah, there's like a blotch on your paper.
Yeah, but it's shaped like Satan.
Yeah, that's not good.
Christian Bale sent this to me.
He did?
Yeah.
Jasmine is back. Our producer is back from the newsroom. Jasmine, what's the inside story? Who's sneezing like that, and what can we do to protect ourselves?
It was not Ryan, because he wasn't even in the newsroom.
Oh. It wasn't Ryan Burrow?
No, it wasn't Ryan Burrow.
I didn't think it was.
Eric is not the culprit.
Although it sounded like Eric.
I thought it was Eric, too.
But he denied it. And Dave Ennett, it was right at the end of Dave Ennett's news.
And we listened to Dave Ennett's news again. And
or sports, rather.
Right. It wasn't.
It was not Dave Ennett.
No. We don't know.
I'm saying David Jennings.
No, because David would...
He's not even
he would
here.
Announce it. Here comes a big sneeze from David Jennings. And then he would sneeze, and then he'd go, that sneeze was sponsored
by... It was done by me, David Jennings.
He would take full credit.
Michael J. Fox stopped by the celeb fave Bang Bang Tattoo Parlor in New York City on Wednesday, and they posted a series of photos. He got it on his, like, inner forearm.
Yeah.
And the meaning of the sea turtle is a long story. We got an email from one of Michael J. Fox's associates asking to meet with us and talk about the design. About a month and a half ago, they got to meet and scheduled a consultation, set up the appointment. And he got a sea turtle. He was telling me there was a transformation for him with his career decisions when he was swimming in St. John. He spotted this turtle with a chunk missing from its fin and a scar on his face. And that turtle let him swim with him for about a half an hour. So Michael J. Fox was swimming with this turtle, sea turtle. He made a transcending design right after that. So the turtle was pretty significant to Michael J. Fox, and he decided to do it. So the tattoo is of a sea turtle with a chunk taken out of his fin.
Oh.
Which another sea turtle or a shark bit
took
him.
Took a bite, yeah.
But that's cute and sweet. And you say, why now? He's 57 years old. But sometimes you want, like, I wanted a tattoo since I was in my probably mid-20s, maybe late-20s. And I could never find the perfect one to come up with.
But you can't you just say to a tattoo artist, here's what I'm thinking. Can you sketch something and I'll take a look at it and say more of this, less of this?
Yeah, but I mean, it's on you forever. I mean, I know you can get it lasered off.
Yeah.
But my first designs that I came up with were music notes in some of my favorite songs.
Mm-hmm.
Going up like a ribbon. I just didn't know. And I never felt like this is it. I'm getting it. And then I realized I love hibiscus flowers. That's why I like going to Trader Joe's. That's their logo. I just love the look of that flower. So I got a hibiscus on my ankle. And I love it. And now I want another one.
Yeah.
And I know what I'm going to get. It's just a sound wave of my boys' names, Michael and Dylan, but I haven't gotten around to getting it yet. I wanted my knee to heal because you don't want to get an infection. Not that you're going to get an infection at a good tattoo parlor. They take so many precautions.
Sure.
But, you know, when you get a knee replacement, I have to take antibiotics before I even get my teeth cleaned.
That could have been the tattoo, is a bottle of antibiotics. That would be very symbolic.
I don't, but that's not stuff that's good.
I don't understand tattoo culture. I just don't get it.
I love it.
So not for me. Because I know that people started to do it to be different, but then once everybody starts doing it, it's not different anymore.
Did they, wasn't it military to start
out
with?
The very
so that
beginning.
Wasn't really to be different, just to look tough.
It was.
On a honking bicep, man, come on.
And honking bicep at the time, but then as gravity sets in, you have to almost hold a guy's arm up and go, what did that say? Born to race hell.
Everybody says that, but unless you get, like, you know, on your lady part or something.
I don't have any I take that back. I have some lady parts.
I wasn't talking
But I don't want a tattoo on my lady parts.
Or a tramp stamp or something
that I
like
have.
That.
I understand that, and that I have.
I love tattoos, and you know what? If you like tattoos, you would have you have such a great ideas.
Uh-huh.
Most people can't think of the right thing to get. You could get Huckleberry Hound. You could get all the cartoon people that you love.
Well, I always said if I was going to get one, giant if, because it's not going to happen, but I would get a tattoo of Hervé Valachez so I could say, look, it's my tattoo. That's the only reason I would do it. And no one would appreciate
it. You're kind of like a prop comic.
Yes. I'm the Gallagher of tattoos. I'm the Gallagher of tattoos. I don't know. They don't do anything for me. And now I keep working out next to guys. Like whenever I'm at the health club, there's some guy next to me where I swear to you, there was a guy yesterday. I'm not kidding. Easily 50% of his body was covered in ink. Easily.
So
I didn't want to ask. Because I don't know. At some point, don't you think even if you love tattoos, that's a little much to have that much tattoo on you?
Can I just say one thing to you?
A lot.
What do you care what someone else has?
I don't care what he has, but I don't understand the culture of I got to have one.
Because you don't like it.
Now I got to have another one. Now I got to have another one.
They get addictive.
That's what I have heroin for, Wendy. I don't need tattoos for
that. See, you make a joke. That's not even funny. Do you know this opioid epidemic because of people that are coming in our country? Where there should be a wall, which that's not true. They're coming in legal
Mexicans
checkpoints.
Mexicans are bringing those in?
No, tattoo artists
are. Oh, tattoo artists? Oh, I didn't know that.
But I mean,
then build that wall.
Here's the difference of you and me looking at somebody whose body is almost over 50% tattooed.
Easily 50%, and I would say closer to 60.
I would look at him while I was on the treadmill or the elliptical and go, wow, that's some beautiful artwork.
Mm-hmm.
You would go,
yeah.
What is he thinking? But you'd still go, are you of that? Are you?
His whole arm was like a snake. One arm was all snaky, It had like snake design on one arm. The other arm had ducks. Like in the upper part, it was all ducks. The lower part was an animal that looked like a frog, but not quite a frog. Then there were Japanese symbols all over his wrist. For I think the Japanese symbol for why did I put ducks and frogs on my arm?
I want to know that
it was there was stuff.
See,
and
I
I'm
need
sure
to know the significance
I know
of
every
the
picture
ducks
had
and
a story.
Frogs.
I'm positive every picture had a story.
Sure.
I don't doubt that for a second. But
I was returning something at a store yesterday, and the woman who helped me had this gorgeous floral tattoo on her inner forearm. That's a new it place to get it.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely beautiful, and I don't know why I didn't tell her that. For a minute, I was going to go, I love your ink.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I just felt funny for some reason doing it, but it was absolutely beautiful.
Were you, I don't know, I know sometimes you would listen when I would do the night show, so I
yes.
don't know if this was one of the nights you were listening or not. A different health club, the old health club I used to go to, the one from yesterday's story about me saying R. Kelly often and not knowing it was R. Kelly. We used to work out at the same health club.
Which, this is no offense to you or the health club you worked out at, but I'm shocked that R. Kelly worked out at that health club.
Well, I would think if you were him...
You'd go to some hoity-toity health
you'd
club.
You'd have it in your house. You would have a workout room in your house. Next
yeah,
to
but
the
he'd
dungeon.
Just put clothes all over it like
yeah,
everybody
probably.
Else
probably.
Does.
That's true. All right, so one day I'm in there, and there's a girl there who has on her arm what looked to be... You know the stereotypical tattoo from the 50s of a girl from like a Tahitian dancer where she's kind of doing like a hula dance?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So whoever rendered that on her arm made it look like it. I mean, this was a girl that was probably 20 or 22 years old, but it looked like her tattoo was from 1950. It was this beautiful.
Vintage.
Yeah. It was like a
hula girl? Is that what
it was?
It was
a hula girl. She was doing a hula dance. She was wearing a grass skirt and a lei, and her hair was done all hula-y. And she was just kind of doing, and I said to her, I was working out next to her, she was at the next machine, and I go, please understand this, I never ever compliment tattoos, but that's stunning. And she's talking to me for a while, and then about 5 minutes into our conversation, which I wasn't looking for, all I thought was going to happen was me say, that's really nice.
Thank you.
That's it. But the conversation kept going and going, and then at some point I realized... She thinks I'm hitting on her, and I'm not. I'm just, because then the conversation was, hey, if you're ever interested in getting one, I'll go with you. You know, it became that. It became very weird, you know? And that's when I decided to never talk to anyone again.
Tattoo or not?
No, it doesn't matter.
Did you ask her what the significance of the hula girl was?
No. Other conversations arose from it, and then I told that story on the air, and somebody said, you know what you have to do is you have to go back and tell that girl you're not hitting on her. And I go, well, I'm never going to see her again, and why would I bother? And then about 2 weeks later, she was there again, and she came up to me, and she goes, hi, you probably don't remember me. And I go, I do, you're the hula girl, you got the thing on the arm like that. And then I then said, hey, just to be clear... And as I'm saying, I'm like, this
oh,
is what,
God. You
this
told
is what
her
a guy who was hitting on her would
yes,
say.
Yes, you just don't say anything.
I know, now I know that.
But you said it?
Yeah, and as I'm saying it, I'm like, God. Oh, this is ridiculous, and I'm saying this. But I said, I just so you know, that was just for me to say, because I don't compliment tattoos, but yours is so beautiful. And then I just went, I'm just going to go I said this, I'm going to go stand there in that dark corner. And then I did. I went off, I stood in a dark corner for a while. And then I worked out more. And didn't talk to anybody ever again. That's the last person I've ever
How
talked
could
to.
How you be so awkward? I mean, because you're typically, you it, can talk your way out of any situation.
It wasn't even awkward. It was just the realization
that... Oh,
yeah,
it was awkward.
It became awkward. It didn't have to be. I made it awkward. It was the realization that she honestly thinks that I'm... And honestly, she was in her early 20s. And age doesn't even enter into it. I should have not even complimented her. It was a mistake to even say anything, because then it led to weirdness.
You're just weird. If you ask some, well, it's just, it shouldn't have been weird. It's like, hey, I'm not into tattoos, but that one's beautiful.
Right.
What's the significance? That's always a great way to get there.
I didn't care about that. I didn't want to waste anybody's time with that. I just wanted to say to her, if I was a connoisseur of the tattoo culture... What she was sporting was really nice. And it was. It was great. But even the tattoo, like as I'm saying it, the tattoo actually signified with its facial expression.
So the hula arms of the hula girl went up like,
what are you doing? Back off. Get away.
You're a goof.
She doesn't need to know you're hitting on her or not hitting on her.
It's crazy.
That's why I'm against tattoos. That's why no one should have them.
Well, Michael J. Fox got one, and it's cool. And
I'm not going to say anything to him. If I see him, I'm not, because it's going to get weird.
He'll think you're hitting on him.
He'll think so. And I go, I'm hitting on Mallory, not on you. What's wrong with you, Michael J. Fox? Kim Gordon's going to come by. She'll give you the news. And then we're going to play you some tape of what I believe may be the worst airline passenger of all time. It did not end well. We'll explain next. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Why can't this go? Jasmine, it's not going. I'm hitting on the
commercial. You have to make a loud coughing noise.
Or sneeze.
Yeah, the commercials are up. The commercials are up. They're going, and we're not hearing it. Oh, my God.
Can't you just do the commercials?
This is Balance of Nature. I'm Kevin Powell, and you know you're supposed to eat 10 fruits and vegetables every day?
No, Kevin, tell us more.
If you don't, you can get it, not in boxes of Breeze, but in Balance of Nature. It combines your 10 fruits and vegetables for one day. This is the commercial button, and
Bob the engineer now in the room,
Bob
and
Ferguson.
Not looking happy.
He looks perplexed.
Boy, ever since we got rid of the fish downstairs, everything's gone haywire, Kim.
I think that's part of the problem.
Taking the fish out last
night. Isn't that sad?
They're going to a different home.
They're going to the Shedd Aquarium.
Oh, how nice is that?
They're
going
to have it at the Shedd.
They'll be better.
Were they taking them out on little stretchers?
Yeah, little fish stretchers.
With wet paper towels wrapped around them?
Yeah. All right,
well, I guess we'll just do some news and not worry about this right now. That would be the best thing to do.
All right.
And then we have to get to certain items that we teased as
Yes.
You have the sheet.
I got it.
So,
the airline passenger, the whole airline passenger.
All
Here's
right.
Kim.
They're all mad because we're getting snow.
Can I ask you a question, Kim? You mentioned R. Kelly in the news and his recording studio on the West Side. What do you think happened? His daughter finally came out and denounced him and said that he is a horrible human being.
After not talking to him or about him for
a long time.
I think they're all feeling the pressure now.
Is that
what
it is?
I mean, don't you? I mean, this is a documentary, and now people are coming out. Cook County Attorney General Kim Fox, mm-hmm. State's Attorney, I can't think of her title right now, Kim Fox. You know, she is asking for people to come forward if they were victims
they
or they know something, and people have called. So I think people are feeling the squeeze, and now people
Cook
maybe
County
are
State's
doing,
Attorney.
Cook County State's Attorney, thank you. People are just...
Any accusers come forward and...
Or witnesses.
But he's just walking around free at this point, right?
He was out at a club the other night.
But guys, things that have come out before, and this has been bandied about for, has it been 15 years that
these
accusations came forward?
Yeah.
They were either settled out of court or, I mean, he wasn't charged with anything.
Right,
so
right.
Technically, he should be out walking around.
Right.
But
unless something will stick.
Yeah, right. And what about the statute of limitations and such? That's what worries me.
Right.
Is this beyond that?
Well, but apparently, I mean, you know, and this is all alleged people saying things, there's nothing we can confirm, but, you know, this seems to still be going on, what people are saying, that he's, you know, holds women and...
Sex slaving underage girls.
You know.
Awful.
So
if they can't bring him in, they've got to at least be keeping a very, very, very close eye on him, right?
Well, and maybe if they feel like they can get into this recording studio, then maybe they'll get
something's
some clues.
Hmm. His daughter, Joanne Kelly, who it says goes by the name of Buku Abi, posted a lengthy statement on her Instagram stories on Thursday. She says, Buku here, I just want to say a few things. Before I start, I just want it to be known that I'm speaking from the heart. Nothing that I say or that I do... or say, I'm not hurting people or any party reading this or affected by this. To the people that feel that I should be speaking up and against everything that is going on now, I just want you all to understand that devastated is an understatement for how I feel currently. I can imagine.
Yeah, I mean that's her dad.
Do we know how old she is?
Her dad is 51, I believe, right?
She's in her 20s, I think.
She's got to be in her 20s.
I mean, it's hard. Yeah. You know, that happens a lot sometimes when, as an adult, you see somebody for who they really are and not what you think they are as a child. And
right.
sometimes that's very hard to deal with.
Although, was she completely estranged from him, like, ever since she was a little kid? I thought I heard that, never had a relationship with him, really.
She's one of the three children born to R. Kelly and his ex-wife, Andrea Kelly, who appear in the docuseries and shared her allegations of having been abused by R. Kelly. She, the daughter, apologized if my silence to all that is happening comes off as careless, that is my last intention. I pray for all the families and the women who have been affected by my father's actions. Trust, I have been deeply affected by all of this. I don't doubt that. I'm sure of it.
You know, and I think, too, the fact that musicians and people that he's worked with are also kind of turning on him
sure.
and distancing themselves, that also puts a squeeze on pressure on you.
It's got to. It has to. All right, let's talk about this airline thing. Have you seen this footage, Kim?
No.
Wendy, you've not seen it either.
I don't know the story. This airline thing, please tell us
this
more.
This is a guy, his name is Maurice Paolo. It says in the story that he was a little-known DJ and a music producer. Nobody really knew much about the guy.
Oh, Lil DJ?
Lil known DJ.
Oh, sorry.
Lil-known DJ. He's on a flight that starts out in Las Vegas, and it's supposed to land in White Plains, New York. This happened a couple months ago, but for some reason, the footage is just being shown now. It's a charter called Jet Smarter. It's a small plane. I would say it must hold maybe not even 100 people. It looks
so
like it probably holds 60.
Those little regional
60.
Jets that you
yeah.
take?
Yeah. I would say it probably holds between 50 and 60 people just by looking at the footage of it. So he gets on there. Now, what you should know about him is he's got mental issues. There's no doubt about it. He kept saying that he just got out of a mental institution, and nobody knows for sure if that
In
was
Vegas?
True or not. Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So he just goes ballistic on the flight and starts telling other passengers that he's going to chop off their heads.
Jeez.
And as soon as anybody questions him, he gets extremely belligerent. He starts walking and standing up and challenging other people. There's a little bit of footage. All the swearing is edited out so as not to offend you, Kim.
I know. I'm easily offended.
I know. So here's a little bit of the footage of this guy, Maurice Paolo, on a flight on Jet Smarter from Las Vegas to White Plains, New York. Listen to this.
I don't think we can hear him.
There we go.
Cornfields, baby. I'll eat the corn. Put me in a cell. Dare you. Heads will be chopped off. Heads will be chopped off. I advise you to send to New York right now. You. All you motherfuckers. You. Hear me? You. You piece of. Oh, snap. Eat these cops. What am I on? Ah. I'm a sick land this now, you f***ing f***ies. In 3 feet of me right now. So advise everybody back the off. Stewardess, pilot, cops included.
So now what you're seeing is footage of the plane landing, not in White Plains, New York, but somewhere along the route.
So this happened mid-flight. He
yeah.
was behaved when they were on the ground?
Yeah, for the most part. Now, passengers are maintaining that there wasn't much of a screening process in Las Vegas. I've told this story before. Every time but once in the last 15 or 20 years that I've flown out of Las Vegas, they randomly select people at McCarran Airport. I don't know that this started from McCarran. It just keeps saying Las Vegas. They're extremely careful in Las Vegas. Every time I'm there but once, I've been brought into another room and searched and probed and stuff like that.
Well, the good news is you know, if he's on a plane, you know he doesn't have a knife. You're going to hope.
Well, they were worried about that because some of the passengers said that the metal detector that they normally go through for some reason wasn't turned on, which makes
oh
the story
God.
Even scarier because they didn't
That's
know.
That's horrible.
I mean, you heard this guy.
My palms would have been sweating.
Oh.
I mean, I get sweaty palms on an airplane to begin with. I would
you
have
don't need
been
this.
Like sweating profusely.
Kim, you can't see it, of course, because it's
so
audio.
Nervous.
But every time anyone on the plane, he just keeps ranting and yelling and screaming that he's going to do violent things.
And this was flying while
yeah,
it was flying?
While they were in the air.
I don't know what I would have done.
So every time Freaked somebody out. Looks at him, He gets on them. He goes after them. He's yelling at them, whoever even looks at him. So I don't know, like, I know that after September 11th, people on planes got this mentality of if something's going to go wrong, it's up to
Let's
us to do. We got to do
right.
something.
Let's get him right.
So I don't know if that was a factor. I don't know if other passengers were trying to figure out what their best bet was. He's a pretty big guy, not gigantic, but you could tell, you know, fairly muscular guy. But he's got that factor of unpredictability where you go, do we try to surround him? What do we do with him? Very scary.
I don't even know. So, how long were they in the air until they fled?
They said it 45 minutes into the flight, they had to finally land and get police to bring him out. The police were quick to tie him up and get him off the plane and stuff like that.
And usually on every flight I've been on from Las Vegas, people are exhausted.
Oh, yeah.
People don't say a peep.
Right.
They're sleeping.
Right.
They're mad they lost. I mean, or
right.
whatever it is, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that had to be terrible.
But he kept saying he just got out of a mental institution. I'm trying to find the exact quote, but he talks about, hey, from a mental institution to a limo in just 3 days. How about that? You know, that kind of thing.
I bet that happens more than we think. Well, I'm sure you're right.
I'm a sick blank. I was just in a psych hospital. You have no idea, he kept shouting at people. He threatened other passengers in the small cabin of the Gulfstream 4, saying that he would, quote, kill them and their children. He said this to a family that was on board that had a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old. They were seated in seats just directly behind him, according Jeez. To the federal criminal complaint. So imagine that. I mean, it's scary enough if you're us and you're on the plane. What if you had a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old and they're seeing this? That's got to scare them for every time you say, hey, we're going to take a flight, we're going to go somewhere.
They'd never fly again.
I'm done. I can't fly.
Do we know what the end result was with him?
Just that he got put into custody. I don't know beyond that. Mm-hmm. So scary.
Really scary. Do you see, we were talking to Rick Steves earlier, and this guy goes to Europe. He says he spends 4 months of every year in Europe.
Yeah.
And he does it right. And I'm sure he doesn't have, you know, teenage boys that he can't leave alone. So maybe I'm not at the travel part of my life yet. But do you see why traveling is not for me?
It's not as glamorous as it used to be, that's for
no,
sure.
No, of course not.
It's not fun, guys. You have to pre-plan and decide what you're going to wear, which it's really hard to determine which pair of shoes to bring. So you bring too many. You bring five.
I always bring too many, although I've gotten really good at carrying a bag on now.
And just, you know, the hassle of getting there 2 hours beforehand, you're going to take a... It's just really, I don't know, I don't get it. Maybe I haven't had wonderful vacations, wonderful enough while I'm there to warrant all the stuff that goes into it. But traveling is a big pain in the butt.
See, I look at it as a miracle.
It is a miracle.
Every time I fly, I'm like, how is this possible?
It is, and I am a little bit of a nervous flyer. Well,
are
not
you?
A little
I am
bit.
Totally.
I am a nervous flyer, but I do fly because I love to travel
yeah.
and I love to see the world. So to me, it's a means to an end. It's a miracle means to an end. You know, every time you're up in the sky, it's like, how does this happen?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
In the last 2 years, in January, my family and I have gone to Mexico. And when we leave here, it's always 6 degrees. And then when we get there and it's 80.
Right.
And I just say, boy, 3 hours ago, I was in freezing cold. And now thanks to the miracle of air travel. Right. And I know you're in a cramped space. I get it.
A metal tube with people sneezing. Who was sneezing
yeah.
in the newsroom?
We do not
early?
Know because we thought it was Dave Ennett. We thought he didn't.
Yes, that's what we thought.
But we played the sports and it was
and
not
it
Dave.
There?
We don't know where it came from. Eric Rung, who was anchoring, did not sneeze. Nobody else was in the newsroom except for me and I didn't sneeze either.
I know who it was. It had to have been Bertrand.
Bertrand or maybe Bennett had his mic open?
Bertrand.
It wasn't Violetta.
No, it didn't sound like her
no.
or you. We ruled you guys out.
It was a guy.
It was a guy?
There's no doubt
it
about it.
It had to be Steve or Bennett.
I'm telling you, it was Bertrand.
Oh,
it had to have been Bertrand.
Have been
really? Oh. Literally O.
Yeah, literally
O.
could have been O because if he had his mic open.
Ready to go for the Wintrust
yes.
business lunch.
But his sneezes are all sponsored by Jameson Steakhouse. They would have jumped in with some sort of a tag at the end. I don't know, but it was.
Could have been Orion.
I can't start my weekend without knowing what happens.
We got to bring in Scotland Yard on this.
This was right at 12 noon.
Who was responsible for this? I don't know. I don't know who it is.
I'm going with O.
Quickly, Kim, to answer your question about what the end result with this guy, Maurice Paolo, was. A judge found him mentally incompetent and then unable to stand trial and ordered him held for mental health treatment.
If I were on the ground, my heart would break for somebody like that, being
it's sick.
Ill
and
sick,
not able to
but
control
when I'm
it.
In the middle of an airplane,
right?
You know, 40,000 feet up.
Right.
I'm not feeling so bad.
The police said that after the plane landed in North Platte, where is that?
I have no idea.
I know the name of that, but I can't.
Just the opposite direction of South Platte.
South Platte is it the other in the other direction.
They it took me too long to get there. I'm sorry.
No, you got it. They searched his luggage. They found 45 grams of marijuana.
Shocker.
And $13,250 in cash.
How much?
$13,250 in cash.
He must have hit a jackpot while he was in Vegas.
Right.
Or he's selling drugs.
Yeah.
Although I don't know if that's a lot of pot. I got to tell you, I don't know how these things roll, because with medical marijuana, you're allowed a certain amount, which to me sounds way too much.
Right.
So I don't know if
I don't know how much a gram is.
And how many? Did he have 45
grams? 45
grams.
For some reason in my head, something tells me with medical marijuana, it's 36. I don't know why. I just feel like
that's the limit?
I feel like that's the number.
Maybe. This was his tweet 3 days prior to the flight. This was the quote earlier I couldn't find. From a jail cell to a private jet, LMAO, they can't stop me, he wrote. It seemed like he was bent on some sort of destruction.
Yeah.
Jets,
and if you're on a destructive path, being in Vegas does not help you.
It's the wrong city for that.
Totally.
It's the wrong city. JetSmarter, that's the charter that he was on at the time of his outburst, said it has the most rigorous security standards in private aviation. This includes background checks on the majority of customers. That's key. I think that's key, the majority of customers, before they fly. Well, they can't. How extensive of a check can you do on everybody who flies your airline? You can't, right? Before they fly, and then on-the-ground security teams that screen for narcotics, for explosives, for cash and weapons, for shared flights.
Well, I missed the boat on three things.
They have asked me, like I said, there's this weird thing going on at McCarran. I used to go to Las Vegas about once a year, right? And every time but one, just randomly, they go through the line and they go, come with me, come with me, come with me. And then you go to another room and they probe you. They wand you. And twice they asked me how much money I was carrying on me. And the first time I wasn't being difficult, but I just said, I'm confused as to why that's relevant. And I didn't have a lot of money on me. I wanted to know.
I would arrest you.
And he goes, sir, just explain to me how much money you have and why you have it. And I said, I've got about $106 on me because that's all I have left. Okay, fine. They just wanted to know.
That's interesting.
What are they looking for there? Did I have too much money or
maybe
not enough
people
money?
People sneaking out cash who are avoiding the IRS. I don't know.
Is that what it is?
I mean,
that
I don't know.
Could be what it is.
I don't think people win that big in Vegas that often.
JetSmarter then added that safety and security have always been their number one priority. I'm trying to find the part where they explained that there was a metal detector that was bypassed by most of the travelers. It's in here somewhere.
That's interesting. I mean, normally, if you have a broken metal detector, you bring in another metal detector.
Or you reroute.
Halt the plane until you can fix it. You don't let people on board without screening them in some way, shape, or form.
No, I understand that. One other quick thing that we did not get to on the regular part of the show, kind of saved it for this. There's a TV show that has turned up, a series called Trackdown that was a Western in the 1950s. It starred one of our greatest actors, Wendy, of all time, Robert Culp.
I liked him.
In this one particular episode of
from
the show...
From I Spy?
Yes, from I Spy. This is a very young Robert Culp. From the show Trackdown, there was an episode entitled The End of the World. In the episode, a con man, whose name is Trump, comes to town and explains to all the townspeople that the only way they will truly be safe is if a wall is built around their town.
Oh, my God.
Oh, come on.
He says that meteors are going to come and crash into this Western town, so they must build a wall around the town, and then everyone will be safe. And only he can do it.
Well, meteors come from the sky. Shouldn't they have built a roof instead of a wall?
I would have done that.
And it's going to pound right through the roof. I mean, come on.
Yes. Can we play a little clip? Jasmine, you have the clip? This is from, again, the 1950s Western series Trackdown with the great Robert Culp. The episode is The End of the World. Listen to this.
Only had checked the town, the people were ready to believe. Like sheep, they ran toward the slaughterhouse. And waiting for them was the high priest of fraud.
I am the only one. Trust me. I can build a wall around your homes that nothing will penetrate.
What do we do? How do we save ourselves?
You ask, how do you build that wall? You ask, and I'm here to tell you.
You're a liar, Trump. There's not going to be any rain of fire.
Can you deny the meteorites will come? Can you deny the comet?
Well, it's not going to happen the way you say it is.
That's bizarre.
Isn't that
crazy?
How can that be?
I can't believe this hasn't gotten out sooner.
Well, the parallels are interesting, and I watched, there's a whole bunch more of the episode where Trump, the con man Trump from the episode, is arguing with Robert Culp's character and other characters because they see him as a con man. They're saying, you can't trust this guy. He comes to our town and he's trying to sell us this crazy idea. The parallels are amazing, but most amazing is that the name is the same.
Trump. I mean, that's just...
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. It's coincidental. I'm sure there's,
huge,
you know, God, who found it? Who spent the time doing things, you know?
Let me see what source
it came from. Did you get this from Reddit?
Huffington Post. Oh. Someone on Huffington Post did this. The character's name, by the way, is Walter Trump. It's not Donald Trump, but still they refer to him as just Trump through most of the episode.
It's interesting, too, when they were talking about, like, walled in and high priests. I think of, like, you know, the old city of Jerusalem, how that walled in and the temples are inside and everything.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that has any comparison as well.
Well, he's said that part of the reason that this is so effective is that it dates back to medieval times. And, yeah, it did date back to medieval times, but... What he doesn't seem to understand is they also have tunnels you can build underneath your wall, which they also did in medieval times. So
which they still do today.
They still do that today. Yeah, yeah. What do you think will happen? I know the government shutdown is now at record speed.
It's going to continue now at least to the 24th day because the Senate has adjourned for the day.
So they're not back
till Monday at 3.
All right.
Which I am just heartbroken for these people. I heard Steve Cochran talk about this woman who had a property and couldn't maintain it. They don't care that there's a note from the government saying I'm an unpaid employee right now of the government. Mortgage companies still want their money, which we talked about before.
He's a real estate guy. No one knows this more than Donald Trump, that in real estate, if you go to your landlord and say, hey, tough times for me right now, don't have the money.
Sorry.
Donald Trump wouldn't have said, oh, well, I didn't understand you were such a...
And just as I left the newsroom, they had a press conference, the Illinois Department of Human Services, and they're telling people that you're not going to lose your SNAP benefits or your food stamp benefits for February, but they're loading the cards early on January 20th. So they don't want people to think that they're getting an extra bonus, that this money that's being loaded onto your card has to last the end of February, and there's no guarantees about March at this point.
And you know,
so ration yourself.
You have to ration yourself,
and that is so hard to do. Because even think about it: if all of a sudden they said they couldn't pay us for a month,
right?
And you know, you have different bills coming from each paycheck, and if you don't get, like, if say your mortgage is comes at your 30th paycheck,
yes,
at the 30th of every month,
yes.
So then, if you're trying to save and wait, it's like it's so hard to figure out. You're going to spend some of that money on food and not have what you need. So if all I'm not making any sense with what I'm saying, but in my brain it makes total sense. It's like these government employees will eventually get paid, but the backlog is going to be impossible to catch up on.
Well, or just think of the people that, you know, rely on the federal workers for their living. Like, say you're in an office building of all federal workers,
sure,
and you run a little kiosk down there.
Right.
How are you going to get that money back? Those people have been gone for
weeks.
That's
true.
You're not.
Right.
So, you know, it's the trickle-down theory. It's not only the federal workers who are suffering, it's other people.
Right.
You know, and I did see there are some companies, though, that are trying to help people affected by the shutdown. AT&T said yesterday that if you subscribe to AT&T for like TV service or internet or phone, that they're gonna, you should call customer service and they will help you. They will, delay payments or work with you in terms of that.
That's
so
good news.
We may see more of that, but I know AT&T for sure has started doing that.
Right.
But you just get out of sync when you don't get paid.
Do.
You know, you figure out where your money's going at that particular time. Plus, to not have any extra stuff to get food, gas,
right,
take care of, you know, socks and underwear. Seriously.
Right.
Or this time
unacceptable
of year when it's really, you know, cold outside, and you have to turn your heat up or
like
that, you know.
I don't understand.
Things we take for granted, think twice about.
So will they start to foreclose on people? I mean, we're only 20 days in, so it's not a catastrophe yet.
Yeah.
But let's say this goes on another month or 2 months. Will they start putting people on lists to foreclose on their properties and
things
like that?
I don't know. I would hope not. But, you know, it just depends.
I know that a lot of banks have... there's a codicil called forbearance where they can go, I think the standard is 3 months. It's not always 3 months, but it can be up to 3 months, where you'll make an agreement with a bank under certain circumstances where you don't have to submit a payment. I wonder if they're already putting together some sort of a plan for that.
It's a good idea. We should give some, you know, give a call to some banks around here.
Because you would think if you're the president, you're trying to sell this idea and you're saying, I don't want these people to be used as pawns, so here's something we're going to do to show you that. We'll make a deal with the banks. Don't accept any payments. Don't expect any payments for 90 days. That might help them, right? You would hope. I know a lot of them are renters, too. So
well, you know, they were saying that people who were getting refund checks from the IRS would get their money, but... How are they going to get their
on time, really?
But how are they going to get their money if nobody's working? There's nobody there to answer the phone.
Right.
It's kind of like, where's that coming from?
Yeah, yeah. I like that he keeps saying that the people he talks to that are affected by this are telling him, no, go forward with it, don't back down and stuff like that. But all the people I see on the news are saying the exact opposite.
Exactly.
They're saying, my kids don't care about a wall. They want to eat. They want it to be warm inside their house.
Right.
So... Very strange.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And I figured out that this guy had how many ounces or grams of marijuana on him? 50-something. There are 28 grams for 1 ounce of marijuana.
Okay.
And the medical limit in Illinois, anyway, you can get 2.5 ounces every 14 days. So
he had 45 grams.
That's under 2.5 ounces. So that wouldn't, you know, if
is
he has a medical... It is a lot. See, to me, I think that's... Crazy a lot for medical marijuana. You're allowed 2.5 ounces every 14 days.
Okay.
1 ounce is 28 grams. So
that's provided
56.
It is medical marijuana. We don't know for sure. But let's say it is.
That's still a lot of marijuana.
Yeah.
Right. And they don't check that when you're on an airplane? They don't check your... There's nothing that goes off that says you
have
that?
You're not supposed to have
it,
but there are ways to...
Yeah, there are ways. Well, they have a lot of drug-sniffing dogs now.
Yeah.
You know, when you leave Colorado, when I've left Colorado, they have bins out now.
You're supposed
to put the stuff in there before
really?
You go.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know.
We have to make up on a bunch of commercials.
Oh, okay.
Back to back.
Have a good weekend,
have
guys.
Have a good weekend.
Happy weekend.
After this, Bill and Wendy WGN.
Was that all our commercials?
Yeah. What'd you think?
Oh, that's
you like
what I was listening for. Yeah,
they were great.
We just had a technical snafu. I used that twice today. I'm sorry. That's the magic wood.
The bird
came down.
Do we divulge who the phantom sneezer was or not? Go ahead. I don't want it in on this. This is too dangerous.
It was a man who's been here many, 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 many years.
Yep.
And let's just say...
Go on.
A hog sneezed.
Wow.
No, I'm not saying that. No. Come on.
That's hurtful.
No, I'm not trying to be hurtful. This particular gentleman talks about hogs in his reports.
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
All right. Is Steve Alexander ever in for this particular person?
Yes.
He is? I don't know who it could be.
It's all right.
Is there a Jameson Steakhouse in his backyard?
Yes.
I still don't know who it is. That was the single most powerful sneeze I've ever... It was the sneeze heard around the world.
It turned September corn into December corn.
Yes, it did.
I don't know. Yeah, it was
magically.
Wow. All we want to say, and the only reason we bring this up is because we want to say, bless you.
Bless you, Orion.
Or Gesundheit.
Yes.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
That's it. Bye, everybody. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.